Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
You're listening to Jones and Keith on WEEI.
Great play by White with the steal. Simons, bullseye!
Burno is lit!
White for three. There it is! 73 in a row for Derek White. And then White comes over with a block. And the Bulls content to dribble it out and take this 14-point loss. Well, a lot of people went back to the office on this Monday after New Year's. The Celtics back in their office, TD Garden. No rust after the five-game West Coast road trip.
Hour two, Jones and Keefe here on a Tier Tuesday. We'll tier off NFL playoff teams coming up about a half an hour from now. Tommy Curran, Tommy Tuesday, high noon. We also have a Keefe for Madness for you at 12:45. So busy day, as it usually is on Tuesdays. We'll get to the Celtics in just a moment. Checking the text line, though, on the Patriots and the Chargers, the Drake May MVP debate at 617-779-7937. Guys, Herbert is super talented.
Okay.
Seems to crap his pants in big moments.
Oh, boy.
When he's trailing with 4 minutes or less left in the game, he has a sub-55% completion percentage and 6.8 yards per attempt, along with a 77 passer rating.
Stat of the week nominee?
Maybe.
Maybe.
That goes in hand with something Bill Belichick, I guess, was saying to Jim Gray.
Nice.
On the Let's Go podcast. I guess Bill is still...
That's still a thing?
I guess he's still making appearances on that.
Okay.
Like, go recruit. Isn't the portal open? Did they close that thing? Like, go recruit, Bill. What are you doing talking to Jim Gray, breaking down Pats and Chargers?
That Wisconsin quarterback. He's done.
It's true. He got that bum-ass quarterback from Wisconsin. He said, what's the quarterback situation with Herbert? I'm reading here from Mike Reese, relaying this.
Okay, all right.
Broken hand and all, that's definitely been a factor. They've had some injuries on the O-line. If the Chargers have to play from behind and pass block to try to protect and throw the ball 35, 40 times, I think they're going to be in a lot of trouble.
Agreed.
So he's saying, you know, if the Chargers can play from in front and run the football and take the air out of the game, they have a good chance. If Herbert's behind, to the texter's point,
it's going to be tough.
It's going to be difficult for them.
All right.
A couple more here. Guys, would you rather? This is a good would you rather.
Save it for tomorrow.
You want to save it for tomorrow?
No. Hit me now.
This is too good. We should do it now. Would you rather Drake May wins the MVP or the Patriots win the Super Bowl?
Give me that MVP.
Oh, you want the MVP?
Yeah. I mean, I'm more about the individual.
Look, there's a lot of years to win a Super Bowl.
Oh, you get the there's whole
so
world
many
ahead of you.
That's a good point.
Yeah. This way I could stick it to Stafford and the Rams people.
Especially where the MVP jinx thing exists. Again, that's David Andrews' logic.
Mahomes won both in the same year. You're allowed to win both in the same year.
You can't.
Why
do
not
it?
Both?
Although Brady didn't.
He never won in the same year?
No.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Okay.
07, 2010, and 2017, I think. So, yeah.
In your
face,
yeah.
Steve.
Boom roasted.
Also this. If you... sorry, guys, great defenses make the playoffs. You're just trying to validate the Patriots' cupcake schedule.
Patriots have a good defense, too.
Well, and I would just say, again, so people like that complaining about the schedule. If they lose to the Chargers, we're going to hear from you all offseason and it won't go away.
Listen, you have the right to.
And I'm telling you, I'm telling you right now, that's totally fair.
Yeah.
Can we all agree if the Patriots beat the Chargers, who are a good defense, then we can shut up about, and they're a good team. Can we shut up about the cupcake schedule and everything else, or are we going to just move the goalposts again the next week?
I have a feeling that, you know, Cam Newton's of the world will move the goalposts and be like, the Chargers really aren't that good.
Okay.
That's my guess.
The Chargers are good, but they're banged up.
Yeah.
Herbert has a broken hand.
Herbert's hurt.
Sure.
O-line's down. It was cold.
So, look, if the Patriots lose this game, it's fair to crow about that all offseason.
Yeah.
Patriots won 14 games. They beat nobody. They're a bad team, et cetera, et cetera. You can do that all offseason if you want. That'll be fair. I don't think you're going to get to do it because I think the Patriots are going to win.
Agreed.
But you can. If they beat the Chargers, I think all that should go away, personally.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. People will probably just move the goalposts on
that. They'll find a way to do it.
So there you go. A lot of time in the first hour on the Patriots. We'll get to some playoff teams coming up with the tiers at 11:30. 617-779-7937 is how you talk Celtics. Another win for them last night, Keith.
How about these Celtics?
They were dominating the Bulls in the first half. Bulls made a little bit of a fourth quarter charge, kind of a fake rally late in that game.
Yep.
Peyton Pritchard with a big buzzer beater before halftime. We hadn't seen that for a while. Anfernee Simons, 27 second half points for the Celtics. They wind up winning that game going away last night, 115-101. They are now the 2 seed in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, pretty crazy. And Jaylen Brown didn't have a very good shooting night at all. Finally cooled off. Of course, he did put up 50 points on Saturday. has put himself squarely in the MVP conversation and didn't have a great shooting night, and they still won the game by double digits against a team that's obviously not good.
No, they're fine.
But they're like 500, right? Yeah. They're not like, you know, one of the dregs of the league.
No, it's not Washington or Indiana or Brooklyn or a team like
this.
But
after a long road trip, we've heard, at least in hockey, that first game back home is like a scheduled loss. That's what Razor used to tell us.
Yeah, I heard. I actually heard Peyton Pritchard saying that after the game last night. He's like, normally we don't do too good in these home games after road trips.
So they won that one, and this team has been a lot of fun. And they've had a lot of, over the last, decade or so, prior to them being like true title contenders, they had that run there where they were a super fun team, right? Like with the Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah.
Those teams, they would be top of the Eastern Conference, but you never really felt like they were a true title contender, but they were really fun to watch.
They were going to give you a good effort night in and night out.
Every single night, they're going to play their ass off. This team is kind of like that, but with one major difference. This team has Jaylen Brown. And he's playing like a real top five NBA player. Isaiah Thomas was a great story, and I by no means mean to disrespect it. He was like, second team All NBA. He scored a ton of points, but he just had that feeling come playoff time, they weren't going to beat LeBron.
I loved Isaiah. Loved Isaiah.
No, I know. And that team was a blast.
But he was flawed.
Sure.
I mean, I guess every player on some level has some flaws, but Isaiah Thomas's words significant. They were size and he couldn't play defense and teams could take him away.
And it just became a real mess.
But, Jaylen, is a...
He's playing like a top five player.
I was going to say, he's playing like a top five.
Yeah.
When everybody's healthy, is he like a top 15 player in the league?
If the whole league's healthy, he's definitely top 15 now, I think.
So,
and maybe you could even argue higher just because of the way he's playing this season. Now, if everybody's healthy, what does it look like with Tatum? Different question for another time. But right now you have that, which you didn't have. They're similar, though, in the sense that going into the year, you looked at the roster, the makeup, you're like, not a title contender. Because there was like 6 years in a row where they were. And, sometimes you had Kyrie Irving and chemistry got in the way, or sometimes something happened and whatever, guys got hurt. But like, they went from being like true title contenders to like this year is like, what are they going to do? Maybe a playoff team? Like, yeah, hopefully a playoff team. Now they're the 2 seed.
Yeah.
And they've played how many games? 35 games?
So 35 we're like, games. So we're almost halfway done the year.
Exactly.
They have the best scoring differential in the East. They've won 4 in a row. They've won 8 out of 10.
And the Eastern Conference in the NBA is as open as the AFC is in the NFL, don't you think?
Sure.
They're pretty comparable where you're like.
Right now the best team is Detroit. Like, is Detroit. Yeah. Is Detroit a team where you're like, oh my God, the Pats, Celtics can't compete with that?
They have Kate Cunningham, not. Who I love, and like kind of it.
Yeah.
Kind of it. And the Knicks, the Knicks will be there.
And Detroit just destroyed the Knicks last night. So you're actually ahead of New York. Celtics are 3.5 back of first. New York is the 3 seed, 4 back of first. So it's close. But you beat Detroit. You've also lost to Detroit. You beat New York. You've also lost to New York. So I'm not
telling
you.
Those would be good series.
Yeah. I'm not telling you the Celtics are obviously head and shoulders better than those teams or would win a playoff series, but they could beat those teams. They have beaten those teams.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I wonder how high they can go.
Right now, they would play a team that emerges from the play-in tournament. Like, when you're the number 2 seed, like, you have to wait to see who emerges from those games.
Good point.
You might Miami?
Yeah, you'd be getting the winner of Miami, Cleveland. It's hard to predict with that play-in tournament.
It's all very close, right? Yeah. Philly's in there. The Bulls are down there. The team that you just beat, that Bulls team is top 9 in the Eastern Conference.
Atlanta's 10 in the East. They're ready to trade away Trae Young.
As I said, there's too many playoff teams. I don't like this format. Those two teams are probably better off. They'd rather tank and get ping pong balls, and they're going to be forced into the play-in tournament.
But
although I guess they could still, if they lose, they'll get the ping pong balls.
Look, I agree with the text line, and maybe they're texting the wrong show here. Are we ready to finally say Mazzulla is a good coach with the way he's coaching this year?
Yeah, he's coaching his tail off.
I don't believe he's a bad coach. I think he is a good coach. We've highlighted him a bunch this year. His game against the New York Knicks.
Yeah.
His game against, when they were playing the Pacers. I think Rick Carlisle is a good coach.
Yeah.
Look at what they are without Tyrese Halliburton. They're the worst team in the East.
They have maybe 6 wins.
Maybe the NBA. They have the fewest wins in the NBA. They were in the NBA Finals with Halliburton.
Yeah.
They're on
a 12-game skid.
They're the worst team in the league without him. So
no, they're the Colts without Peyton Manning.
You lose Tatum.
Which is funny because it's an indie team.
You lose Tatum and you're second in the East. That I'm sorry, on some level that speaks to Mazzulla. It speaks to Brad Stevens as well and the talent around.
After dinner, you're going to be kidnapped.
You lose Tatum, Holiday, Porzingis, Horford.
Well, even more fair, yes.
Right, and I don't know how good any of those three guys would be.
Pacers also lost Miles Turner. It's like, you lost Porzingis, Holiday, Horford, all these other guys. Yeah.
And you replaced them with my guy Simons?
Yeah.
pretty much, right? And then, like, basically, because Cato was on the team last year.
Luca Garza?
Oh, yeah, Luca Garza.
Yeah.
But, like, Pritchard and White and, you know, Hauser, these guys were all on the team last year. Their roles have changed a little bit this year. But, no, it's really Jaylen Brown, I would say, is, like, the single reason why you're where you're at. But Joe Mazzulla's on that list. He's pretty high on that list. He's had a great job. He's got to be Coach of the Year candidate.
I think so. You know, I'm with you. I'd have Jaylen ahead of Mazzulla.
Yeah.
So I guess it's similar to how we were talking about the Pats. I'd have May ahead of Vrabel, but it's close. And I would have Mazzulla next, even beyond Brad Stevens, who I think is trying to do as much as he can with ownership not wanting to spend anything.
Well, and this is what's going to be pretty interesting is I think Tatum going down and missing who knows how many games, right? Because we all think he's going to be back. But Tatum going down, I think, allowed the new owner to be like, hey, we're getting rid of Porzingis, Holiday, and Horford, and not have this huge pushback. Because if Tatum was healthy and you were like, well, why didn't they keep any of those other guys? I think there would have been a little more of an issue. But now that this team is really good and you might get Tatum back, were you just going to sit on your hands during the trade deadline? Or are you going to add like an actual big man?
Keith, they might subtract.
You do that, even worse.
I was reading Tim Bontemps this morning. He went through all the biggest needs and biggest weaknesses on, biggest needs and biggest strengths on all these teams. Biggest need, he says, after talking about getting Tatum back, the biggest need is getting out of the luxury tax to reset its repeater tax clock.
Great.
And see if it can move Anthony Simons.
Yep, that is the number one need
on the
team.
That's the number one need on the Celtics.
They have a two seed in the East.
And so, like, I get that that's ownership's motivation, but guess what? You bought the team. You're the two seed without Tatum. You might get Tatum back. You better not subtract off this team.
Yeah.
You should be
that's scary.
Adding to this team. And Anthony Simons, I think is also a flawed player.
Oh, yeah, he's not perfect.
And if you're trading him in a bigger deal to get, like, a real big to help or a real piece to help, yeah. I'll listen to that. I'm not saying he's untradeable. But if you're trading him to worry about your repeater tax code to get some draft picks,
no, I don't like
that's
that.
Dumb.
Yeah, I don't like that at all. Because they should go the other way. Like, don't say, hey, we got rid of all these guys and we're still really good, so why can't we get rid of even more guys? No. You've gotten to a point where you're playing better than expected, but you need to reward the team. And, yeah, my fear is, oh, Tatum's back. That's the acquisition, like they did for years with the Red Sox. Right. Like, Chris Sale's back. That's the trade deadline. You're like, well, no, you already had him. He just was hurt. And so that's how I view Tatum. Simons has been one of these guys that I thought he was going to get traded the second they got him. And I was like, remember, because it wasn't like George Niang, another one. They got a few of these guys in the offseason.
They got Niang and flipped
them. They dumped a bunch of
them. They probably, if we're being honest, probably tried to do the same with Simons and couldn't find a satisfactory deal.
And now
deal.
They can, right? Like that date came and went. I think it was like, you know, December 5th. I think he's been able to be traded for a month. They still have him. Last night, he has a really big game. And they got a good thing going right now. But they have clear needs. Like, certain series that they have in the playoffs, if they don't add another big man, are going to be really difficult for them.
Yeah. What is their ceiling without Tatum? Let's say Tatum doesn't come back.
At all?
No, you get 0 minutes out of Tatum, which I don't think is going to happen, but just to play the game. What do you think their ceiling is without Tatum?
I think it's still win a playoff series, and then you have a dogfight against, say, like, if you end up with the Knicks or the Pistons in the next round. I think those are probably still the two best teams in the Eastern Conference. And so if you lose a hard-fought series to one of them, I don't think that's any shame. But I would say second round.
So I would say, depending on your draw, and I get your point. Yeah. I mean, Eastern Conference Final, I think is their ceiling without Tatum.
Yeah.
What's their ceiling with Tatum?
Well, so even if you say he is, just for the sake of argument, 75% of the player that he was, give or take.
Duck boats.
No, you win the East. Let's not get crazy. I think the Thunder, or somehow the Spurs kind of have the Thunder number.
Absolutely, like, have their number.
So, like, one of those two teams, I think, would be the heavy favorite in the NBA Finals. But, like, yeah, I still maintain the East is so wide open. And if Tatum comes back and is like an above average player, and even if he's not as good as we normally get out of Tatum, but Tatum's normally a top five player in the league, then yeah, I think they could knock off Detroit or New York.
So just sticking with the Thunder for a moment, I think they're 6-5 in their last 11. They've lost two straight. They just lost to Charlotte last night. This is a team that started 24-1.
Yeah, they've cooled.
Before they ran into the Spurs, to your point, they lost an NBA Cup game against the Spurs, and then two more games against the Spurs. NBA Cup.
Oh, yeah. May have derailed the Thunder season.
It kind of derailed the Thunder. I'm telling you, that thing's important, Keith.
I guess so.
If we were talking about early in the year, I'm like, they're 24-1. This is how you defend a title. And we compared it to the Celtics a year ago.
Yeah, no, they've fallen off. I don't think they're going to win 80 games now.
No. Yeah. And so let's monitor that. But I guess between you maybe getting Tatum back and the Thunder not looking as unbeatable. I still think they're title favorites. Yeah. But the Thunder not looking as unbeatable and cut above everybody else, Tatum's back. Your ceiling might be duck boats.
Yeah,
Keith.
All bets are off. Yeah, like so another reason, though, to be aggressive at the deadline. And for Brad Stevens not to, like, you just really, really hope. And I know his hands are probably tied, but it's like the goal shouldn't be save money and get out of the luxury tax thing. Well, it should be.
Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to like this ownership group very much.
I think you're probably right.
Is Jaylen Brown the best two-way player in the league?
So he thinks so.
He thinks he is, yes.
He thinks he is. I think there's an argument for it. Now, like, defensively, he can be really good. Right, like there are times where he's really good. I don't know if he's like regarded around the league though as one of the great defenders. I don't think he's ever been all defense, right? Like Derek White, Drew Holiday were getting a lot more credit for their defense in the last few years here than Jaylen Brown ever was. But it's like with a lot of these guys, like when they want to, they can do it. You know, some if you go back to like
Jaylen Brown has never been all defense. You're right.
Right. So that's why. But he's great right now offensively. He is what, just under 30 points a game scoring. And scores in a variety of ways. I like that he doesn't rely on the three-point shot all the time, but he'll still make some of those. So best two-way, who do you think it is? Because, like, obviously Luka and Donovan Mitchell and Shea, like, those guys aren't known for their defensive prowess. Those are much more offensive. Same with Jalen Brunson, Edwards, Curry. I mean, Kawhi, so...
Like, Kawhi would be a good one if he's healthy. That's a hard game to play.
Yeah, Kawhi is just impossible to figure out. But, yeah, maybe it is Jaylen Brown.
I mean, it really depends on your definition of two-way player. But if you're talking about, like, a high-end player who makes an impact at both ends of the floor, which would probably be my real stance on a two-way player. Because, like, this is my feeling about Bergeron forever. It's like, is Bergeron the best defensive forward? I guess. But is he like an actual true high-end player on both sides of the ice? He's not. He's good on offense. He's elite in his own zone. And I think if you're talking about the actual top players in the game who makes the biggest impact at both ends, it might be him.
Yeah.
And
he's got a really good case.
Kawhi's having a massive bounce back year. Kawhi, did he score 50 in a game recently too? Or he was close to it if he didn't.
Yeah, because they were terrible early, then they turned it around a little
Kawhi
bit.
So Kawhi individually has been on quite a tear. Who knows if he'll stay healthy? Who knows if this will be consistent or not? But yeah, I think Jaylen has a real case for that. I do. Now, I don't need to hear him crowing about it and saying it and being, I'm the best two-way player in the league.
But you know what?
Shaking my head that I'm not Eastern Conference player of the month or week or whatever he was crying about.
But
so.
You kind of have to in a weird way. Because you remember like Marcus Smart really started like lobbying for Defensive Player of the Year?
And it was pathetic. But it was pathetic and sad.
But he wouldn't have won it otherwise.
Okay, but like
20 years from now, you might remember him lobbying for it. Yeah. But everybody else would be like, oh, that was... He and Gary Payton
are the
last point guards to do it.
No. This is a perfect example of why Jaylen you should do it.
Well, I'm just saying, you want.
Don't be Marcus Smart on the cover of Sports Illustrated shoving Tatum and Brown out of the way
to be
in the middle of it. And don't go begging for a Defensive Player of the Year award.
But you have to put it out there.
That should be beneath you. You're not Marcus Smart. You're way better than Marcus Smart. That should be beneath you.
How do you think Joel Embiid won his MVP?
Crying about it. Try to pass the ball. They don't want to pass the ball.
Okay, well, no, I'm not defending Marcus Smart.
What do you
overall
think of Joel Embiid?
I don't think much of him, but
exactly.
He won an MVP because
kinda,
he cried about
it's kinda,
it.
Yeah, but that's sad.
Do you want the MVP or not? Sometimes you have to do things you don't want to do.
I don't
do
want
to
it that,
the things that
I don't
want
it that badly.
Well, you don't.
I don't.
You'll never be MVP.
I won't be. I definitely won't be for many reasons, but I won't cry about it. So that to me is interesting about Jaylen Brown, where he's on this real push because this is his window to fully be recognized with the other great players in the league without Tatum. Like, this is his chance to be Eastern Conference Player of the Month and be first-team All-NBA and get MVP votes and be all-defense and all these things. And so he's acting a little too thirsty about
it,
is what I would say.
Listen, he's not alone in that. Did he say two-way player, period, or two-way guard? He said two-way player.
I thought he said player.
Yeah, I mean, no, because people are texting in, it's Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah,
I just
think bigs are so difficult to really call them true two-way players. You can avoid them so easily in today's NBA.
Brown scores a lot more than Wembanyama does.
They make an impact at the rim. Everybody stands out at the three-point line. So I think a big is, whether it's player or guard, whatever he said,
or wing, I
think that's irrelevant. I think the wings are the true two-way impact players.
Yeah, so probably it's Jaylen Brown, followed by when healthy and when playing, Kawhi Leonard.
617-779.
Kawhi, he went 55, 33, 45, and then Jaylen held him to 22.
Yeah. Oh.
And put up 50 on his face.
And
how about that?
Drop 50.
That's a good point.
So point Jaylen Brown.
Look, I think I don't really love Jaylen crowing about it and crying about it.
You got to do what you got to do, Jaylen.
I don't love that, but I don't think he's wrong. He might be the best two-way player in the league right now.
He couldn't be more right.
The irony is when Tatum comes back, he's not even the best two-way player on his own team. 617-779-7937. We got all your feedback here on Jones and Keefe. We'll get to a Tom E. Tuesday, Tommy Curran, at High Noon. We have the Tiers on a Tier Tuesday coming up right after Trending with Billy.
Watch us. Love us. Just follow WEEI on Twitch. Jones and Keefe.
On WEEI. It's Tier Tuesday with Jones and Keefe.
Let's go!
Tier Tuesday, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. The Tiers are brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. You can visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential, remodeling, or commercial building materials and supplies. At Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. We're going to tier off NFL playoff teams today.
That's right. We have cut it down to 14 remaining teams in the NFL, and we have the following tiers. We can always add and subtract as we go, but we figure the top tier, the best around.
You're the best around.
These are the teams, Jones, that we consider the best around.
That makes sense.
The team, the tier below that, pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah, that's the pretty good tier. These teams are pretty good.
Yeah, they're good. Pretty good. They're pretty good.
Tier below that, the old cat in the grass. It's a playoff of Frisky, but these are the teams that are kind of they're the cat in the grass.
It's a little different than Frisky.
It is.
Yeah.
But these are the teams kind of laying in wait, right? They're not your favorite.
Yeah.
But they're not a bottom dweller either.
No.
So the tier below the cat in the grass would be the, so you're telling me there's a chance.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Not the worst.
No, not the worst.
These teams have a chance.
They have a chance.
Sure.
The worst tier would be the no chance.
No chance.
That's the no chance tier. These teams are in the playoffs, which is great, but they have no chance of winning the whole thing.
And, exactly. So there's a key differentiator here. It's not just anybody could win a playoff any given Sunday, Keith.
This is the whole
anybody could win a
kit and caboodle.
The whole shebangabang,
yeah, correct.
As they say.
Yes,
this is to win the whole thing. Not one playoff game, the whole thing.
Several playoff games.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Who are we starting with, Bill?
The Broncos.
How do you feel about the Broncos?
Pretty good.
Oh, we're missing a pretty. Pretty good is what I would say about the Broncos.
I wrote the tier wrong then. But yeah, I would say they are also pretty good. They're a one seed, but people kind of look at them side-eyed. They have a good defense. They obviously have home field advantage. And they got Bo Nix, who has pulled rabbits out of his hat a few times this season. So they do have that going for them. They have a coach who I don't like, but has won a Super Bowl.
Yeah. And they have a good path. They're home
they have
for the whole
good
conference.
They're bonafides.
Bonafides. So look,
I
just feel like if you're truly one of the best teams around,
yeah,
you would be stomping all these backup quarterbacks and bad teams.
No, so just give you some bonafides.
I can't put them there. I'd say pretty good.
They might be the top of the pretty good tier.
Oh, you know what? Me and Chime did while you were out.
Not
Keith.
Power rankings.
I did rank within a tier. Except I screwed up a tier and did one backwards.
Nice.
But we did rank within tiers.
An inverse power ranking within a tier. Great. I'm sure that was very
the sanctity of the tiers.
Yeah, I'm sure it was very easy to understand when
it was
people
great.
Were driving around.
It was perfect.
Okay.
I think people wrapped their heads around it very easily.
Yeah,
in fact, many people were like, great job, Jones. You've changed the tiers forever.
For the better.
Yeah.
Okay, Bill.
Patriots.
You're the best around.
I mean, where else would you put them?
Hard to argue. They have the second best offense in the NFL and the fourth best defense. According to points, which I know maybe you don't love points as a stat, but pretty important at the end of the game when you look up at the old scoreboard.
I'd say. Are we homers because we're putting them there and not Denver?
No.
I also don't think so. I think a neutral bystander, I would like them and prefer them to Denver because of the quarterback. But, I mean, we're here in New England. Maybe we're a little biased there. But, yeah, best around. That's where they belong.
Jaguars.
Ooh, you like the Jaguars.
Cat in the grass? They're a literal cat in the grass.
I think they might be the face of cat in the grass.
Are they too high of a seed to be cat in the grass?
No, because I think they're very unassuming. Even though they're the three seed, I think a lot of people are going to pick the Bills maybe even to beat them. It's still Trevor Lawrence. I know he's played really well the last month. Rookie coach.
I think cat in the grass.
Cat in the grass is a good spot.
Yeah.
Cat in the grass is a pretty good spot.
No, it's not. No, they're not frisky. They're cats in the grass.
They're cats in the grass. Yeah. They're literal wild cats.
Don't confuse people.
Can I circle back to the Patriots real quick?
Uh-huh.
I have a... So this was an old... On one of the old shows that I was on.
Oh, I thought this was a stat of the week.
Kinda.
Oh.
Oh. So we developed the Dale scale.
I knew what you were going to say.
I mean, the great Dale Arnold.
Yeah.
Developed the Dale scale. And I forget what the exact number was, but basically, no, I was looking at this like points.
Dale's name really is great for all of these games.
Dale's Tales. Don't get us started. We don't have time for a Dale's Tales. That'll take us the rest of the show.
Yeah.
This is the Dale scale.
Yeah.
And you would add up the number of where the team ranks on offense and where they rank on defense. So, okay. Like I just said, 2 and 4. Uh-huh. So that would equal 6.
Yep, I got that.
So the years in which the Patriots' offense and defense totaled 6. This was, in fact, the Dale scale. The last time.
The magic number is 6?
Well, yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Because
go for it.
The last time it was 6 or less was 2016.
Oh.
They won the Super Bowl.
Duck boats.
They won the Super Bowl. It was also in 2007. They went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it didn't end well.
As well as 2004.
That was a really good, really good one.
So this is only the fourth time it's happened, if you put the number at 6.
I mean, arguably,
the Dale scale may have been at 10 or 9 or 8, but if you're looking at it this way,
I mean, it makes
you
sense.
You make the Super Bowl.
Yeah. It makes sense. Those are arguably the three best Patriots teams.
Right.
I mean, 2004, 2016.
Yeah,
16 or 14. I guess we're missing 14.
I think 14
on there.
Might have been a little bit better.
Yeah, actually, 14. I take that back. 14 should
the
be.
The Dale scale on 14 was actually a 12.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Okay. Good on the Dale. Where are the Broncos on the Dale scale?
I got to find the Broncos. I got to find the Broncos
right.
on the Dale scale.
You get to work on that. Jaguars or cats on the grass? Who else we got?
Oh, Broncos. Sorry, Billy. Broncos are a 17.
Oh,
on the Dale, scale.
Dale scale hates them.
No chance.
All right, good.
There
that's
no
what,
chance.
Yeah,
there,
we should put them lower.
Lower.
The Steelers.
Are they no chance?
Yeah.
No chance.
Yeah, they don't have a chance. Steelers aren't going to win the whole thing.
Have you heard?
They can't win playoff games with Tomlin anymore.
I'm sure by now you've heard the stat. You know they haven't lost a Monday night football game at home since like 1991?
They haven't lost Monday night at home since 91?
And they're playing the Monday game this week?
Since Neil O'Donnell?
Which, like, you know the Rooney family just has so much gross influence to, like, get that game because they know this stupid stat.
What was the other Shime stat? He was like Tomlin at home as a home underdog or something?
Doesn't lose.
Yeah.
Yeah,
So maybe they beat the Texans.
This
but
is
like,
what
they're
I'm
not
saying.
Gonna, they're not going to beat the Broncos.
I'm
Pats,
not
right?
saying they have no chance against the Texans
right.
because of the stupid black magic they have on Monday Night Football, but like they have no chance to win the Super Bowl.
What's Lynn Swann's record on Monday Night Football?
No chance.
So I'll say no chance.
Okay. All right.
The Texans.
Good defense. Are you going to go cat in the grass for them?
Well,
so you're telling me there's a chance.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
They're at least that. So I don't want to be inconsistent. I've said that'd be like a nightmare game for the Pats.
Nightmare game.
But I also said I would pick the Patriots. So I don't think you want to play that team. That's going to be an ugly, hard-fought game.
Their defense is nasty.
But to truly win the Super Bowl, I'd say you're telling me there's a chance, but they're not even cats on the grass.
They're not. They're below that.
They're a tier below that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Telling me there's a chance.
All right. Yes.
The Bills.
I think they're pretty good.
I would agree with that.
Pretty good.
Yeah. I would say pretty good. Right, I mean, there with the Broncos.
Outside Spider-Man of May, meme. Perhaps the best quarterback in the playoffs.
In Denver, and this would be great. If Buffalo beats Jacksonville, they have to go to Denver. And then, therefore, if you're the Patriots, you don't have to play both of these teams
good
to
point.
Make it to the Super Bowl, which is great.
Okay.
Chargers.
That's a no chance for me.
No chance? Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, there's a no.
No chance. Yeah.
To win the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
No. I don't think so.
I don't either. I don't think they're going to beat the Patriots. If you lose your first playoff game, I think you got no chance.
Yeah.
All right, good point.
Your chance goes down significantly if you lose that first one.
That's sound logic. Yeah. All right, no chance for the Chargers. Who else we got?
All right, to the NFC, the Seahawks.
All right, what about a new tier? Hear me out on this one.
Yeah.
What about, because they have a great defense, and they're the number one seed. They also have Sam Darnold. You and I, not the biggest Sam Darnold fans.
Yeah, they have a great roster top to bottom outside of Sam Darnold, yes.
What about like a seeing ghost tier?
Oh, like his own tier.
His own tier.
Where does that go?
Probably above cat in the grass.
So below pretty good, above cat in the grass.
Yeah.
Love
seeing
it.
Seeing ghosts.
Love it.
Seeing ghosts.
Sam Darnold is seeing ghosts.
I think he's seeing
ghosts. The Seahawks tier.
Do you know how many playoff games Sam Darnold's ever played in?
I think just the one, right?
Just the one?
Yeah. Last year. How'd that go?
They didn't win it.
Not well.
No, they didn't win that game.
Okay. Yeah. He
turned into a pumpkin.
He deserves his own tier.
Okay, good.
Okay, I like that.
The Bears.
I kind of like the Bears as a cat in the grass. I know there are Bears specifically.
No chance.
No, well, not no chance.
You're telling me Ben Johnson has no chance?
So the three of us disagree. Billy, where do you want him?
There's a chance.
There's a chance. Thank you, Bill. There's a chance.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
He's agreeing with me, not you.
Well, no, but you said no chance. Oh, no, Nick said no chance.
I said you're telling me there's a chance. You said cat in the grass.
He ripped his headphones off his head so he couldn't
I didn't hear anything.
Good point.
You said cat in the grass. You didn't say
Bears. Bears, people are sleeping on the Bears, which would be great for cat in the grass. They're the 2 seed, so they got some home games lined up for them. I think they're winning the first game.
I would pick them against Green Bay, yes. You know, there's a statistical oddity, or a weird fact that the Packers' last win was against the Bears, and the Bears' last win was against the Packers.
So something's got to give.
Something's got to give is exactly what that is.
Something's got to give game?
So I say you're telling me there's a chance.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fine.
Okay.
Eagles.
Oh, I think they're pretty, pretty good.
Yeah, I do too. They're kind of scary, actually.
For most of the year, I'm like, something's wrong with that team. I think they've started to figure it out.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
That's where I'd put them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're good. They got an argument for best around, but I'm not going to do that.
No. I'm not going to make that argument.
Okay.
Not right now.
Panthers.
Ooh, they are no chance.
Also a cat in the grass?
All the cats.
Actual wildcat?
I mean,
you think no chance, or you're telling me that you... Credit to you, Jones. I don't do this often. You were a big proponent of the Panthers. You picked them to make the playoffs.
Yeah, look at how good they were at 8-9 and had the back end of the playoffs on the last day of the year. But that is technically a win for your boy.
Yep.
Yeah, they have no chance. Now, I give them more of a chance against the Rams. I heard Ty Law and Scheim laughing about the Panthers against the Rams. I'm like, they already beat them. Like, I wouldn't laugh it off that they have like no chance to play
a
tight
giant
game.
Spread.
It's the biggest. It's 9.5 or 10, whatever it is. Oh, it's that high now?
I think so.
So. But how do they have no? They already beat them once. They don't have no chance to win the game. They have
any
no
given Sunday game of inches.
They have no chance to win the Super Bowl, though, is what I would say.
Right. No chance.
The Rams.
Are you putting them up in best around?
No.
Pretty good. So we only have the Patriots in best around?
Yeah, correct. What? Yeah.
This is great. I'm still getting heat. I tweeted out the other day. This was another one of my viral tweets how Drake May should be the MVP.
Your mentions must be, with all these viral tweets, mentions have to be
I apologize if I can't get back to each and every
it's
one
just
of you.
It's Gronk tweeting at him.
It's mostly Gronk. I hate Gronk. But I tweeted out that Drake May is the MVP after doing a lot of research. And like it was a real delayed reaction. And now all these Rams fans
it crossed over Seahawks Twitter Rams Twitter.
Which is not a significant portion of the NFL fan base. But there are definitely those that are like a lot of insults.
All right, so the Rams are pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, they deserve to be knocked out.
My point is, I only brought that up to say, once we put this bad boy up on Instagram, that's going to get,
Well, wait till Rams and Seahawks tweet. Wait till the 12s get a hold of this 12. One.
Yeah. Yeah. Dave Matthews and Chris Pratt.
Bronco, really every other fan but Patriots fans. Once they get a hold of it, look out. Okay.
49ers.
I would have.
Cat in the grass?
I would argue, at best.
They got to be cat in the grass.
That game against Seattle was so bad.
That shook me. I thought they were going to beat them, and I was like, hey, maybe you could talk about them being the best team in the NFC, but then they scored 3 points, and you're like, oh. And they were at home.
Cat in the grass?
Yeah, cat in the grass.
All right, let's do it.
Finally, the Packers. No chance.
So that's what I think. Toyotathon's done.
Toyotathon's done.
They don't
done.
Have Micah Parsons.
Yeah,
they
no
haven't
Micah Parsons.
Won since Parsons got hurt.
Josh Jacobs? Trust me. Looks awful.
Well, he should be pretty well rested for the playoffs, I think, the way they played him the last couple of weeks.
It's terrible.
I think
3 yards 2 weeks ago.
I think they have no chance.
All right, so I think we got it. I think we kind of nailed it. So our best around tier, we have the New England Patriots. In the pretty, pretty, pretty good tier.
just
the Pats.
That's all. Yeah.
The pretty good tier, we have the Broncos and Bills, the Eagles and Rams.
Okay, that's good.
The seeing ghost tier is simply the Seahawks.
That's perfect.
The cat in the grass, we have the Jaguars and the Niners.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're telling me there's a chance, Texans, Bears.
Good.
No chance, Steelers, Chargers, Panthers, Packers.
Nailed it.
I think so, too.
Per usual. Wow. I feel like we nailed it.
Man, good for us.
617-779-7937. You can discuss the tiers. People, I don't want to speak to Rams Twitter, Seahawks Twitter.
Oh, it's wild.
Broncos Twitter.
Yeah.
Heaven forbid the 6 Panthers fans get a hold of this. But you can give your feedback on the tiers every Tier Tuesday here on Jones and Keefe. They'll be up shortly at Jones and Keefe. It's also a Tom E. Tuesday. We'll check in with Tom E. Curran at high noon on a Tom E. Tuesday. Check out his work at NBC Sports Boston. We have a quick Alex Bregman update on the way next.
Now, Jones and Keefe
on WEEI. Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. It's Tier Tuesday. Tears are up at Jones and Keith. They look good, Keith.
Oh, they look real nice.
Patriots all alone the top tier.
With the cheers, as always.
You guys are playing hide-and-go-seek with your intellect on these rankings.
I mean, at least suggesting we have intellect.
Guys, way to show your objectivity, you homers.
Listen, we just call them like we sees them.
I also like this one. Do you guys ever listen to a recording of your show when it's over?
No.
Yeah, I'll stop you right there. No. And realize how big of an idiot you sound like.
I'll take your word for it.
I hear our promos.
Sir or ma'am.
I hear the promos. I hear our promos, and I'm like,
that was us?
Oh, I'm like,
oh, you like that?
I'm like, good stuff there.
Yeah,
I'm like,
I did 4 hours of that. That's just a taste. I need a lot more of that.
Do I go back and listen to the full show?
I don't.
I don't. But when I do hear little clips, I'm like, I don't think we sound like idiots. Man, I'm like, we sound pretty good.
Really good. Is that available on podcasts?
Really on to something there. It is. Odyssey app. I'm happy you asked. It's free. Mm-hmm. Won't cost you a dime.
Nope.
And you won't miss a second of Jones and Keith. Like our pal JP in North Providence. He never misses. Hello, JP.
Hey, JP.
Jones, Keith, Jones, quick post-Christmas question. The missus didn't get an easy bake oven for Christmas like the Santa Claus 2 movie, did she?
She did not, no.
No, it's bad.
Oh, okay, good to know. Keith, Jaylen Brown has a great year, MVP performance. One, is this cheap ownership going to want to try to unload his contract because he's now looking like a top five player? And two, how is he going to exist next year after running this team all year? Because there's always been that grumbling. They say they're buddies. I find it hard for him to go from the number one back to the number two again when Tatum comes back.
All right. It is a good question, and it's one really for months from now. But
second part of that. The first one, they're not
going
to trade him.
No. I don't think he's going
anywhere. The second part, though, how does Tatum and Jaylen fit together later this year and going forward? There could be some friction there,
So Brown has talked about in the past how he's sacrificed a lot, and we can all understand what he's talking about there. He's also talked about like how enjoyable this season has been.
This has been my favorite season so far.
Ever. He's won a title.
Correct. He won a title. He's been an all-star. He's been all NBA. He's been the number one seed.
This is the one.
Correct.
Nothing's been more fun than this.
So I think the mentality is different, but this was my hope all along. And I brought this analogy up probably 100 times, and I'll bring up 101. The Chicago Bulls. Jordan, clear-cut alpha, the alpha of all alphas. Scottie Pippen is viewed as the greatest second player, at least in like my memory, right? So there's a year and a half there without Jordan. And Pippen is awesome. They win a ton of games. They make the playoffs. I want to say the semifinals, maybe the conference finals, definitely the semifinals. So they won a playoff round. He led the team in like points, rebounds, assists, steals, blocks. Was awesome. Jordan comes back. They go back to their roles. They win three more titles.
Yeah, but Pippen like, does not stewed have in the meantime.
He did stew. There's some stewing, but he also was the second best player on three title teams. So they kept it together, and that's where like Joe Mazzulla is going to come into play. That's where Phil Jackson came into play. And you're going to have to be able to massage the egos. I do think Jaylen Brown thinks he's a better player than even Scottie Pippen thinks that he is. Right?
I don't know.
Oh, maybe not.
Pippen thinks pretty highly of himself. But
but he was able to say that's Jordan.
Yep.
Now, Tatum's also not Jordan.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
So there's, it's not the perfect analogy, but it's the same
Pippen
idea.
Pippen at least
like,
knew he was, behind the greatest player of all time, arguably.
But, like, the Bulls didn't fall apart. The Bulls were awesome. I think they lost to like Patrick Ewing and the Knicks or whatever, but like they were still really, really competitive. And he proved that he could be like a number one, maybe not on a championship team, but like a number one in the league and carry his team. And that's kind of what we're seeing now with Jaylen Brown. So I think it will take a little bit of time for them to get used to it again. But I don't know. They have figured it out. Like there was 4 years ago, we were talking about, you notice that they don't actually pass to each other or like there's no assist to each other. That's gone away.
The hope would be that Jaylen now is comfortable. He's proven everything he needed to prove with Tatum out. And he now knows for anybody who ever wants to say, well, you're just a number two or you're just riding Tatum's coattails.
Like, what about 2025?
He can point to that and say, well, that'd be the hope.
Yeah.
What I'm worried about is what JP is worried about, where Jaylen, it's his favorite season. He liked being the number one.
I know.
And he bristles at going back to being the number two and not getting the shot at the end of games and not getting any of the credit. And I'm not telling you I know how it goes, but that would be my fear. Meanwhile, there was an update today from ESPN, two updates really, on the Alex Bregman sweepstakes, if you will.
Yeah, what's he up to?
Buster only had a good one. Jesse Rogers, not so much.
Oh.
In the same article.
All right, let's hear it.
Hold on.
Easy.
You think he gone?
Easy.
Yeah, if he was getting that contract, he would have signed.
Buster only. Here's the contract. The Red Sox and Bregman have signaled a willingness to pay him big money, perhaps something in the range of what the Tigers offered him last spring. Perhaps there seems to be doing a lot of work.
Perhaps. An important word.
But the offer a year ago from Detroit was 6 years, $171.5 million.
$171.5 million? For six?
Mm-hmm.
$28.5 million a year.
I think that'd be that's a lot of years, but
that's
I think
a lot
be,
of years.
That'd be a good deal. I'd be happy with that.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, he walked away from basically 2 for $80 million. And so now you're tacking on 4 more years and you're like barely doubling the overall amount. So I don't know. Like it's under $200 million overall. So you wonder if the Red Sox might find that intriguing. But last year they basically gave the guy a 3-year contract. So after 1 year where he's hurt for 50 games, so like now you're worth $6 million. I don't see that happening.
So again, the word perhaps there is doing a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
And my fear now is this is the beginning of the Red Sox covering their asses when he goes to Arizona or something like that.
Oh, we were so close, and we actually did offer him.
We actually offered him what he turned down a year ago in Detroit. I don't even get why that's that good of an excuse. It's like he didn't want it a year ago. We offered it a year later.
Now he wants it.
And, yeah, so but I'm worried that's the beginning of, like, their excuse-making. On Bregman specifically, they've made plenty of excuses. Jesse Rogers in the same piece at ESPN says there was a feeling around the industry that Bregman was down to Toronto and Arizona when Okamoto signed with the Blue Jays. That would now push Bregman to the Diamondbacks. Those same people believe the Red Sox would indeed hang around until the end, seeing how Bregman's market would develop. Many believe the two sides, Boston and Bregman, need each other, given the leadership and production he supplied to the Red Sox last year. But free agents always want more than one serious suitor. So as one executive put it, it was down to Toronto and Arizona before. Maybe now it's down to Boston and Arizona, but Boston's just there to leverage Arizona.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
So you're saying now, yes or no? Bregman's back?
I still think he's back. Yeah. Like, now you're Alex Bregman. Now you got to pick Arizona or the Red Sox.
He's got a house in Arizona.
I would come back.
Snakes have those awesome city connects.
Now, the money obviously has to be the same, but you're telling me all things being equal, which is dangerous with this team, but I don't think Arizona's exactly going to spend like crazy either.
What's the state tax out there?
Ooh, got to be less.
Yeah.
I would think it's like, can't be higher than here.
Do you like the desert?
I don't.
No, but he's Bregman.
He might.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. This has been a really tough one to read overall. I think the Red Sox need him way more than he needs them at this point, right? Because there probably will be another deal similar to the Red Sox, if not more than the Red Sox, whereas they just created such a big hole at third base if they don't bring him back.
Okay. So that's the latest on Alex Bregman. I think the Buster only one seems positive on the surface, but I don't know. If he had that offer, would he have accepted it by now? If he doesn't, what are they going to do? You think they're going to offer more than $6 million, $172 million, $171.5 million? And Jesse Rogers seems to think the Red Sox are just there for leverage, and he's going to go to the Arizona Diamondbacks. 617-779-7937. Tiers are up at Jones and Keefe. Go check those out. It's also a Tom E. Tuesday. Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston, next.